One of my colleagues a few years back said that this is a pretty provocative statement, but he said that your manager at work may actually have more impact on your health than your primary physician, because your primary physician you may see once a year, twice a year, more as you get older, obviously. But managers are somebody that in many cases you see, you know, 5 days a week, right, and interact with very frequently. So we've studied that, and when you think about their impact on quality of life, it's very powerful. So, for example, people in disengaged work groups, according to our research, are nearly twice as likely to be diagnosed with depression. They have higher stress levels and also have greater risk of heart disease. So managers, in many cases, again, are the person most responsible for shaping that work environment, and that's where employees spend a big chunk of their lives each day and each week.
That's Nate Dvorak, a workplace researcher and client advisor with Gallup, talking about an often unrecognized impact on our quality of life, our managers. Most of us know Gallup best for its political polls, but the organization has been researching the workplace and management for decades. In this edition of the Journal of Accountancy podcast, Nate is going to tell us what those decades of research reveal about the traits and skills that the best managers possess.
Hi, Courtney. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Appreciate it.
So tell us, why are managers so important to the success of organizations?
Yeah. When you think about it, managers are the link between so many things within an organization, right? They connect people of different levels within the organization, for example. So take kind of the leader's goals and desires for what they want the organization to be and to do, and connect that with frontline workers and the work that they're, you know, doing each day. They also connect and coordinate work across departments, across functions, and especially as we know, right, as organizations get larger, this is very critical to the success of the whole enterprise. I'd also say that most importantly, managers are responsible for creating what we would call kind of the local working environment for their team. So focusing on things like setting clear expectations and goals, making sure the team has the right materials and equipment and information to do their job.
Can you give us some background on Gallup's research on managers?
Sure. So we have been studying managers for a long time. We have multiple research streams that have been going on for decades. Gallup has worked with hundreds of organizations and studied, I was looking at the data this morning, hundreds of thousands of managers and potential managers. And so to do that, we've in each of those studies and then kind of those cumulative studies, we start by defining success first, right? So what does high performance or top performance look like? Which in most organizations is pretty similar, varies a little bit by organization. And then we work backward to see what differentiates the best manager. So we've been able to accumulate over that 30 or 40 year span a very long and in-depth study of managers and what makes the what creates the best managers and what you know, in some cases, doesn't. So from that kind of that study, the selection perspective, we know what personality traits or abilities across different organizations and countries and industries really lead to or predict great managers. What we found, obviously no real surprise here, that engaged individuals and engaged teams, they perform better. So, for example, when we look at our database, the top quartile teams from our database, comparing them to the bottom quartile of teams, what we see is on average that those top quartile, most engaged teams have 10% higher customer loyalty or customer engagement, 21% higher profitability, and 20% higher sales. So some clear performance differences. On the flip side of that, when we compare top and bottom quartile, the top quartile teams have 24% less turnover, 70% less safety incidents, fewer safety incidents, and 41% less absenteeism, among some other differences. Well, those are kind of the main ones. So what we see, long story short, is these differences in engagement also impact multiple performance measures that, frankly, almost all organizations care about, things like, you know, feedback from their customers, profitability, sales, productivity, turnover, et cetera.
And managers, Gallup has found, are what drives engagement.
What we've learned is that the secret in many cases boils down to the team's manager. So another study we did, we looked back at all that data and we found that 70% of the variance in a team's engagement is actually directly related to that team's manager. Kind of specifically how talented that manager is and then personally how engaged they are.
What qualities do you find make someone a good manager?
It kind of boils down to five things, and they're, I'll talk about each one of these individually, but those five things are motivation, work style, initiation, collaboration, and thought process. So motivation really is all about kind of inspiring teams to get exceptional work done, right? Setting high bars, setting high standards. Work style is about setting goals and arranging resources for individuals and teams to excel. Initiation really kind of boils down to influencing others to act, but also then pushing through resistance and adversity as those things come up, as we know probably they always do in many cases, right? The fourth, collaboration, there it's all about building committed teams with deep and personal connections, real connections. And then the fifth is thought process, what we call thought process, basically taking an analytical approach to kind of thinking about strategy and then ongoing decision making for that team. I would say that these are all, those five qualities or traits are all built around kind of a common theme of having the ability to connect very well and build strong relationships with the people they work. So we can, and with all of these five, we get even more granular on how we assess these and how we develop these attributes. But those five are kind of the foundational elements that span across all of the studies that we've done and set the stage for being a great manager. Some people naturally have those. Some people don't or don't have all of them.
And these qualities are the same across managers in all kinds of organizations?
Yeah, we have. I was actually looking back at this morning to look at some of these data. Everything from Fortune 500 organizations, global organizations that we've all heard of in all kinds of industries, to small organizations that have as little as, in some cases, you know, 50 people to 100 people. So there's a huge range in size of organization, industry of organization, geography of organization. We've had many opportunities, as I said, over the last really 30, even going back 40 years, to study managers in different environments. And what we've actually found is the traits that predict success are more similar than they are different. Each organization may have some, you know, idiosyncrasies. Each industry has some idiosyncrasies, but the basic talents to, you know, manage a team and bring that team together and get them to achieve high, you know, create an engaged team and get them to achieve high performance look more similar, those five things I was talking about, than different across all of those different studies we've done.
Are those qualities innate, or are they something that a person could develop, or is it a little of both?
Yeah, good question. The answer is probably a little bit of both. Some people, and we've all probably seen these, some people just have it, right? Some people just really have those qualities. A little bit of education can help those people, but in many cases, they're the ones that others are learning from and trying to model their behavior after. So there's some group of people, some small number, percentage of the population that has those things, just like some people, if we think about, there was a great teacher, for example, that we had, and when you say, what did they do, people would say, oh, there's everything. They just, who they were every day was a fantastic fit for being a teacher. There are some people that who they are every day are a fantastic fit for being a manager. There's probably another group of people who have some of that talent, and when you mix some of that talent with some very intentional learning and growth and development and experience and coaching, they can get up to those world-class levels, right? So there's another group of people that have some of it with some investment, they can get even better. And then there's probably some people that may not have that innate talent, right? And it's okay, I think, to admit that and just say, look, there are some people who weren't cut out to be a manager, and be honest that it's, you know, like I said, shifting that organizational mindset is hard and takes time. But once the mindset is shifted, then it doesn't feel to that person like you're closing the door for them personally. You're just saying, hey, we have multiple career tracks. You know, this career track may be the best fit for you, being an individual contributor and moving up and growing rather than being a manager. That's really important to keep in mind what people are naturally good at, because what our research shows is that everything is usually faster, more effective, more efficient, and more successful when people are kind of operating from things that they're naturally the best at, instead of somebody trying to coach them through a weakness, or, you know, really grow in a weakness and try to make something that they weren't good at, you know, something that they're great at.
One of your findings that I was really surprised by was how few managers are actually effective.
Again, if we're to say that an effective manager is somebody who creates an engaged team, in the U.S., for example, based on multiple studies now that we've done, about, say, 33 or 34% of the working population is engaged. So if we're going to use that as our metric, we would say maybe the answer to your question is that maybe one-third of managers in the U.S. Are effective, right, are good at their jobs. Globally, that number is even less, more like, you know, 15% of the global working population is engaged, so we're probably talking less than one in five global managers are effective. So there's clearly some room to grow, I think, when we think about creating a great workplace and finding managers that are able to do that. But the good thing about it, on the flip side, the positive thing is that we know that with some effort, managers can grow, right? So we've worked with organizations and seen them move those same numbers where they started with 1 out of 10 employees, for example, who were engaged. So say maybe when they started, only 1 out of 10 of their managers were effective, as we're defining it. They've moved to levels as high as 8 out of 10. So 8 out of 10 of their employees are engaged, which we would say, you know, that means 8 out of 10 of their managers are doing an effective job. That's world-class levels, right? It takes time, but we've seen many organizations do it and go on that journey, and it can be done.
How come organizations often don't choose the right people to be managers or promote the right people to be managers?
Good question. We had the same question. The clients ask us that. So we decided to test it out a little bit a couple of years ago. So we asked this question on a panel study that we did with a random sample of, I want to say, around 10,000 U.S. working population, and you wouldn't be surprised with what we heard. The top two reasons people get promoted, reported getting promoted to a manager, are 1, tenure within the organization, and 2, high performance as an individual contributor. Not surprising. The problem is, neither one of those are great indicators of somebody's eventual success as a manager, right? So what we found is, what we learned is, in many cases, it's more about credibility and knowledge that gets people promoted, right? Tenure or individual performance, and not actually the talent or potential to succeed as a manager. What we also hear a lot of is that people want or need a raise or a better title or both, and calling them, quote-unquote, a manager is the only way that can happen.
What are some things organizations can do to ensure they're promoting the right people to manager or to create opportunities for people who might not be cut out to be managers?
We've seen a few organizations that manage this, as I said, again, are thoughtful and proactive about it. But it takes time, and in many cases, the best organizations are addressing this problem years in advance. So some of them create parallel, you know, kind of career direct trajectories, for example, right? So that there's a kind of the management track, right? And if you are a manager and have the talent and desire to be a manager, you can do that and then move up within the organization. But there's also sort of an individual contributor track where you can still move up, make more money, have better, fancier titles, but you may not want to manage and lead a team, for example, as you move up. And organizations clearly communicate that and show people that you don't have to be a manager to move up. Other organizations, when they hire individual contributors, even at that early stage of hiring an individual contributor, we'll kind of take a look through maybe some form of assessment or something like that and figure out who are the people that they're hiring for individual contributor roles now, but they may have the talent to be a manager later, 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road. So they're building up their pool of future managers even at those first frontline stages of hiring. So it does take time. It does take some, as I said, some thoughtful, intentional effort and communication to kind of hopefully get out of that system of promoting because of tenure or performance and not because of people that are going to be a great manager. But that's a hard shift for some organizations to make, and it takes some time.
Once again, that was Nate Dvorak of Gallup, and this has been the Journal of Accountancy podcast. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.